Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another Norm at Night. Tonight our topic is dissent, especially in time of war. The dissent I'm particularly talking about is the idea that the Reverend Jeremiah Wright put forth in language that quite frankly is vindictive and demanding, but still the idea exists. If you want to call in to tonight's show, remember you can reach us at 347-945-6713. And you can also reach me via IM. That's the AOL version of instant messaging. The username for the show is BoogeCon, which is my general IM also. Remember, I'm coming to you live right now from Bowie, Maryland, and the topic for our show is dissent tonight. What I'm going to do right now is read an article that it came from the Columbia Journalism Review, and I just want you to listen to it because this is what we're going to be talking about tonight. If you're calling in while I'm reading it, just please hold on. I'll get to the calls. Right now we have five lines open. Again, from the Columbia Journalism Review, this is an editorial from the July-August 2008 edition entitled Dissent Deficit, An American Ideal Needs a Workout. Quote, to suggest that the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001 were in any way blowback from U.S. actions and inactions in the Muslim world is to dissent rather sharply from the principal narrative that took root in this country and that persists to this day about those attacks. In the months and years following 9/11, doing so was even branded treasonous by some in the public sphere. And in April, when the Reverend Jeremiah Wright convulsed the nation with a series of public statements that were roundly criticized as racist and un-American, some of the sharpest denunciations were spurred by the video of a sermon Wright gave less than a week after 9/11, in which he said the attacks were America's chickens, quote, coming home to roost. Regardless how one feels about this notion of cause and effect, our failure as a nation, 7 years on, to even begin to air it out is both curious and instructive. Curious because America was conceived in dissent, and the principles of free speech and a free exchange of ideas are central to our national self-image and the image we want to project to the world. Instructive because in spite of this meaningful dissent, dissent that is welcomed, even encouraged, as a healthy part of the democratic process, dissent that is taken seriously, debated, and considered is effectively absent from American public discourse. Forget Jeremiah Wright. Both the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks upon the United States and the Pentagon's own Defense Science Board have in separate reports presented essentially, if less colorfully, the same view as Wright, that the attacks were attributable in a large part to anger over U.S. policies in the Muslim world. Yet the press and the public have largely ignored the implications of this idea. Rather than engage in speech that strays too far from the dangerously narrow borders of public discourse, the gatekeepers of that discourse, our mass media, tend to effectively shout it down, marginalize it, or ignore it. Wright, for example, was ridiculed as a fringe-dwelling albatross around Barack Obama's neck. The penitent aspects of the reports from the 9/11 Commission and the Defense Science Board, meanwhile, got virtually no attention from the press. And we'll leave it right there. I've gotten an IM wants to know, wasn't America conceived in guerrilla war and terrorism? And I agree. Yes, America was, IMer. In fact, America was conceived in revolution. And the interesting thing is that as that revolution turned into government and the counter-revolution took hold in America, some people would argue that the United States Constitution was, in fact, a counter-resolution. I have 5 lines open if you'd like to comment about that idea of dissent. Should there be dissent to the war in Iraq? Are there repercussions to our actions around the world? And to say that there is in no way to justify what happened at the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001. And that's where there is continually a confusion that any dissent or outrage against what we're doing in the entire Middle East is a result of, it means that you are glad that the 9/11 events happened. No one is glad that 9/11 happened. No one is also glad that 4,000 American soldiers, over 4,000 American soldiers, have died in the theater war. In both theaters of war, 4,000 dead Americans. I don't know if it's struck home with anyone, but let's remember when we're talking about dissent, it's just been pointed out to me by IMer, the media, and anybody in the media that tried to take the same position by speaking your mind. For example, Bill Maher actually lost his job after 9/11 because he opposed our entry into the war. Another interesting thing that's just pointed out, I'm not sure where I have this connection. I got an IM that the Saudis have banned dog walking because it promotes flirting with ladies. Well, I got 5 lines open. I hope you're out there listening to me. Why don't you call in and weigh in on this? Remember, the call-in number is 347-945-6713. Pick up your cell phones and give me a beep. Let's talk about some other major areas of dissent in wartime. World War One, which some people see as America's first major international conflict. There was a great deal of dissent during the First World War to America's participation in it, and there was a lot of in the First World War there was a lot of anti-war dissent, and a lot of immigrants were considered to be the enemy, particularly those people who were from lands that were considered to be subjects of the German Empire. And it resulted in the Bolshevik Revolution, and it resulted in the first of the big red scares in America. And that's actually a place that is very close to my heart because of the reactions against particularly 2 Italian immigrants Yes, the famous Sacco and Vanzetti, the two Italian shoemakers that got tied to a chair and burned alive. Whether they were guilty or not guilty, I don't even want to talk about that any. I don't even want to talk about that. My father, God rest his soul, still cries. First cried whenever he talked about Sacco and Vanzetti. I mean, imagine being a 9-year-old son of Italian immigrants and you watch these two guys be executed in 1928. It's something that affected him for his whole life and affected me. Interesting thing, I want to go back to Bill Maher for a little bit. What he did was he said cowards don't fly planes into buildings, and that's what doomed him. Which leads to another question. Is the media, this freedom of press thing, are you free so long as you stay within the ruling paradigm? Remember that strange things, for instance, when we renamed French fries Freedom Fries. Well, during the First World War, believe it or not, they renamed sauerkraut Freedom slaw, and that's a real interesting thing. And by the way, that freedom slaw comment was passed to me by an IMer. So give me a call. I want some people to kick in on this. Was Jeremiah Wright wrong in connecting the results of 9/11 to the actions of America in all parts of the world? Was Bill Maher wrong? Were the guys that flew into the buildings, were they cowards? Or were they not cowards? I got five lines open. I'm not going to make a decision on it. I want you guys to call in. Come on, you people out there. It's 347-945-6713. This is a serious topic. It goes to the very root of what we are here in America. You know, that are you an anti-patriot if indeed in time of war you dissent against that war? There is a tradition of it throughout American history, but there's also a tradition of tremendous repression. When this kind of mob mentality and mob fear begin to take hold, are we on the road to fascism? You know, we're constantly reminded how we're fighting the Islamo-fascist. I don't think there's a, well, to me that just smacks of someone not understanding the least little bit about fascism or totalitarianism. One thing that is striking me about this America we live in, you've got to toe the party line. But anyway, you can reach us at 347-945-6713. I've got five lines open. And we're halfway through the show tonight, and I thought that this topic might fill the airwaves and that I might have to try to extend the show past 30 minutes, but apparently not, as I've now passed the halfway point and I'm still waiting for my first call. Saturday night, and I've got to take my, I promised that I would do this. I met a person who runs a website called www.edgewatermaryland.com, and it's a website of local people and services for the people, by the people. And I'm bringing this in here tonight because, indeed, this is supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Toe the party line. I got an IM says it sounds like fascism to me. How many of you go to work and just toe the party line, tell the boss whatever he wants to hear? Where is dissent real? Everybody talks about the value of dissent, but very few people have the stones to dissent. And I'm not even trying to pretend that I do, but I can honestly say I have not presented the right image in several places where I have been, and I've actually lost some jobs while everybody talks about community and politeness. But I don't want to go there. I want to talk about Jeremiah Wright. I want to talk about dissent. And I want to know, was Barack Obama a coward for throwing the guy under the bus? Was it worth, did he have to do that in order to, did Barack Obama have to throw Jeremiah Wright under the bus in order to become president of the United States? Somebody just took a poke at me. Everyone knows that I'm a big cell phone fan, and dissent is not buying into a phone plan. Well, you know, maybe it is. Maybe it is. But I don't feel any real need to dissent from buying into a phone plan. But then, who knows? Maybe it's the giant phone scare. We'll have the, I almost used the name. We'll have the history teacher raids against people with cell phones. Again, or if you have something else you want to talk to, you just want to call me names. 347-945-6713. It's really kind of sad that I don't have a caller then. So would Barack, I just got an EM. Of course, you're not an idiot, Norm. Of course you know that Barack Obama would have been thrown out of office, because I guess that would have been change you can believe in. I'm still going to vote for Obama, I think. Maybe I should, who knows, maybe, is there a point of voting for anybody, because he's just going to leave Iraq and take and send more brigades to Afghanistan. We're just going to kill people everywhere. Anywhere people don't think like we do, we got to go kill them. And that is a really interesting thing. And another interesting thing is the idea of what if the internet is actually a form of Western imperialism, to bring Western culture and values into all parts of the world. It's a hard question. I got IM's point in here, but I don't have anybody calling in. We got about 10 minutes left, and you can reach us at 347-945-6713. Um, And let's talk a little bit about Barack Obama. Did he actually believe what Wright seems to say? Well, the interesting thing is, for 20 years, while he was a state senator, while he was the United States Senator from Illinois, he didn't seem to have a problem with what he was saying. In fact, he didn't quit the church until after people pointed out what he was saying. Now, would it? Here's a really we just got a I am here quote. Oh God, the internet is Western imperialism. Give me a freaking break. Well, I'm not going to give you a break, because the internet, without any question, may be the greatest form of cultural imperialism ever developed. Think about what the internet is. That's a whole, oh, here's another great I am. That's like saying good food with cream sauce is French imperialism, or Chinese food, Asian imperialism. It's a really interesting thing. I don't think it's near French food with cream sauce is not near as effective in the form of imperialism as the internet, because the internet changes everything. It's not just in the United States. Remember, the language of the now that poverty and barbarity is African imperialism. We all know that that's not the case, and that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about are cultural values. And that is, in fact, what the Muslim world rejects most, hardly, at least in my way of thinking. It's everybody has to be like we are, and that's what the internet takes around the world. Remember, the primary language of the internet is English, and that is indeed what has made England English the language of the world. There is never before, and it's much easier and more effective than actual physical imperialism. Because it goes everywhere. Everything is being turned into the Western idea of capitalism. And in fact, I want to get, let's just talk about dissent. I have a friend who actually dissents against this. Oh my Lord, so it has to be effective to be imperialist. No, it doesn't. Oh my gosh, we're going round and round here. If I wish my IMer was not such a dissenter to the world of phones, so that we could have them here online, because having sat in several places with him and argued about many things, he is much more effective face to face than I am in relaying his arguments, and it's actually much more interesting. But anyway, since it doesn't appear that there's much interest in this dissent topic, I'm going to use the last 5 minutes to talk about something that we very well may have coming up on the Norm at Night show. I like to go out and have a pint now and then. I'm not going to fib about that. And last Friday, I was out having a pint, and I got to hear one of my favorite Irish singers. His name is Conor Malone, and I just purchased his new CD, and I meant to get permission from him so that I could run it on the show. But if any of you are ever out listening you don't want a good place to go, go to ConnorMalone.com, see where Connor's playing. And I would go listen to him. He's just a classic Irish singer. If any of you know what Chuckie music is, he can plays a lot of the old Irish songs. He plays a lot of them, actually modern, or I should say contemporary American stuff. He really is just a great musician, and it makes for a very enjoyable night. Hopefully we're going to have Connor on the show for an interview sometime soon. My producer's working on that right now. We're thinking about actually going to a pub somewhere and doing a remote with Connor and putting the whole interview on the show. I listened to the CD on the way home the night that I bought it, and in fact, I listened to it. I'm right now driving a long distance back and forth to work, and I listened to it there. And yes, I was just pointed out by an IMer that there was a time when I, quote, hated him. Yes, I'm over that. I am a big fan now. It is a pleasure to go and listen to him play. The only sad part is there's a bar on Connecticut Street, the big sign, best Irish pub in Washington, D.C. Well, I can tell you, and that place is Manny O'Brien's. And I can tell you, it used to be the best Irish pub in D.C. In fact, it used to be the best pub. And to hear Connor Malone sing and play at Manny's in that small, close, intimate atmosphere, absolutely unbelievable. Oh, I wish there was some way to take Manny's back. I don't know how I became such an aerophile. I don't know. I don't know if that's the word. I'm not an Anglophile. I don't know how. What am I, a Celtophile? 2007. I guess that was the last year. I remember when we put Manny to bed. We were doing a remote, actually, from outside the old bar. We weren't ever sure she was going to, they weren't sure she was going to be reborn, and somebody called me a little fat fuck. I'll never forget that. Yes, I said it. I let the word out over the air. I'm really sorry about that. I'm really sorry that Manny's has passed. I'm really sorry that they don't serve harp at the Four P's anymore. I'm really sorry that they don't call it the Four P's anymore, but I still do. I remember the first Norman night ever went on the air, discussed for a little while the first night I was ever at the Four P's, which now officially is called the Four Green Fields. It's just been pointed out to me that I'm a Hibernian. That's what I guess you call one who likes things Irish. There is a certain purity, and I've got 30 seconds left. Again, remember, go to Robin Walker's site, www.edgewatermaryland.com. For if you're anywhere in the Annapolis, Edgewater, that whole area out there in Anne Arundel County, a site for the people and by the people, and go to ConnorMalone.com and check out Connor's music schedule and go listen to him somewhere. He's a great musician. And if you get a chance, stop by Manny O'Brien's and have a pint. Tell him you want the old place back. We've got to get the old place back. And remember, drink responsibly. And that means drink Irish. That's sort of a, but I've got about 1 second left. Norm at Night is out.